Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, the 11th of August, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host on the Buckmaster Show, on the home of the Buckmaster Show, KVOI, AM 1030. It is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And we're delighted to have our simulcast partners along. Folks up in the globe area are listening to us on KJAA, AM 1240 in Globe, and then down in Douglas and Cochise County, folks listening on KAPR, AM 930. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show there, along with an archive of all of the previous programs, and we put those up. There's an archive for at least the last 2 weeks. And if you need something further back, we can make that happen. Plus, thanks to our new agreement with the online Tucson Sentinel News Service, the Buckmaster Show can now be heard anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. We have a great lineup for today. Lead-off interview with Dr. Victoria Mazes. We always welcome Dr. Victoria Mazes. Always brings some great health information. She's from the U of A-based Center for Integrative Medicine. And we're also happy to say she is the health contributor to the Buckmaster Show. And among the topics on the table today with Dr. Mazes, should you be buying organic? Then at 20 minutes past the hour, the big push is underway to cover those, actually, there's thousands of them, abandoned mine shafts around Arizona. At the bottom of the hour, it's our CEO interview series presented by Trio. Today, we spotlight Bruce Dusenberry. Then we close out the show with a conversation with former Arizona Attorney General Terry Goddard, will be with me in studio. Buckmaster Show is an interview-driven talk show, and we encourage you to be part of the conversation by calling us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 or toll-free from anywhere in North America, 1-866-725-5467. You can email your questions at buckmastershow.com, or you can submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And I want to emphasize, if there's a particular story idea or a guest that you would like us to interview, let us know that as well. Well, more and more food service providers are offering the organic option, but is it the best choice for your health? We explore that question in our monthly conversation with the Buckmaster Show contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the executive director for the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine and professor of medicine, family, and community medicine and public health at the University of Arizona. She is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. She lectures worldwide to academic and community audiences on integrative medical education, women's health, healthy aging, nutrition, and cancer. And she's the co-author of several books. Her latest is Integrative Women's Health. Dr. Mays, it's always good to see you.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
As you lecture worldwide, hopefully there's some very interesting locations that you travel to, because I know you love to travel.
Yes, I do. I was just in Ireland, which was the perfect counterpoint to Tucson in the summer.
With the fog and kind of the overcast skies, I could use a little of that right now. What about organics? It seems like every supermarket is offering some more than others, but everybody's getting on board.
I think this is an incredibly wonderful development. Now, you know, we know that it costs more to buy organic produce, dairy, chicken, meat. But at the same time, buying organic is good for the environment, and it's also really good for your health.
But when we look at organic, some buying decisions are smarter than others.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the wonderful things that has happened in recent time, is we now have some great resources that help us make decisions about where to spend our dollars. For example, the Environmental Working Group, which has a great website, ewg.org, they publish a list every year ranking how much pesticide residue is left in the 53 most commonly eaten fruits and vegetables. And so what you can do is you can really choose that you're only going to buy organic if the category is what we call the dirty dozen, the top 12 with the most pesticide residue left on them, and that you're going to buy conventional and not spend the extra dollars for the clean 15, which are the ones at the very bottom of that list and are the ones with the least pesticide residue.
Why don't you start with the good ones?
Well, the good ones, very interesting as you look at the list. Onions, corn, pineapple, avocados, asparagus, peas, mangoes, eggplants, cantaloupe, kiwi, cabbage, watermelon, sweet potatoes, grapefruit, and mushrooms. These are the clean 15. They're the 15 vegetables and fruits that are absolutely fine to buy conventionally because there's almost no pesticides left on them.
And if you were to ask me, well, why, Bill, would you think that that group would be a little cleaner? My answer would be maybe they have more of the hard shell.
Well, some of them, clearly, it's that you're removing completely the husk, as in corn, or the peel, as in a mango, or cantaloupe, or watermelon.
A little more protection, yeah.
Exactly. So that could be. But I think also different vegetables and fruits require different levels of attention and have different particular microorganisms that disturb their growth. And so it's not always that way. Potatoes is on the dirty dozen, and you peel the skin off a potato, but if you can, better to buy organic.
Why do you suspect that some would be dirty? Is it just in the process, the growing process that they pick?
Well, the farmers seem to need to use a lot more pesticide to produce an apple, a strawberry, a peach, a nectarine, a grape. They require more in the agricultural processes, or they require a lot more attention because these things, of course, are grown organically as well. And so actually the Environmental Working Group calculated that if you pick your 5 servings of vegetables and fruits, which is the recommendation, from the clean 15 instead of the dirty dozen, you're going to reduce your daily consumption of pesticides by 92%.
Wow.
So that's not an organic choice. That's really just knowing which ones are safer and which ones are less safe. And spending your dollars wisely.
It's the Environmental Working Group. Their website is ewg.org. Do they also have information beyond fruits and veggies, like for, say, chicken?
Well, they don't rank chicken, but the other thing I find on their website that's fabulous is that you can look up the cosmetics. And cosmetics is not just makeup. It's shampoo, it's sunscreen, it's moisturizers, all of the products you put on your skin. And they actually rank them in terms of, are there methylparabens, are there phthalates, are there other things that we know are endocrine disruptors. Endocrine disruptor is a word for things that alter the normal hormonal balance of your body, can increase the risk of cancer. It can affect fertility in men and women. It could perhaps increase risks of other diseases as well. So that's another wonderful resource. They also have a resource about healthy fish.
Dr. Victoria Mazes is with us. She's the executive director of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. We're talking about organics and a really neat website that Dr. Mazes has introduced us to from the Environmental Working Group. What is this Environmental Working Group? What do you know about
them? They're a nonprofit group it really serves to help us be much, much wiser about our environmental choices. And as I said, they have a whole wide range of resources, but perhaps they're best known for this Dirty Dozen and Clean 15. And you can download a little PDF and have it in your wallet so when you go shopping, you can remember the lists. I did want to point out one other website, if I could.
Sure.
This is one that focuses on dairy and on the practices in dairy, because organic dairy raises a whole different set of problems. In the United States, we allow the use of something called recombinant bovine growth hormone. On the milk carton, you'll see RBGH, recombinant bovine growth hormone. By the way, this is outlawed in Canada, Australia, Japan, the European Union, but in the United States, we allow use of it. And what it does, the reason that farmers use it is that it has the cows produce somewhere between 10 and 15% more milk. But there's several downsides. One is the udders of these cows get big and they get more infections, and therefore more antibiotics have to be used. And I don't know if you're aware, but 70% of all antibiotics used in this country are used in the raising of animals, not humans.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and this raises the risk of antibiotic resistance in people. There's a second problem with this recombinant bovine growth hormone, and that's that when it's used, it raises something called insulin-like growth factor 1, and that increases the risk of cancer as well. So I recommend highly organic milk and organic products that are made from it, and there the website I love is called cornucopia.org. Cornucopia.
Cornucopia.org. Quickly running out of time. Chicken, fish, and meat. Let's cover that really quickly, Dr. Mays.
Well, chicken quickly. Organic is advised because commercial chicken is raised with roxazone, which is a form of arsenic. Can you believe they give arsenic to chicken?
No, I can't.
Well, they do.
It.
They give it as a growth promoter, and they give it to help prevent infections. And
oh,
it's FDA approved, although it's about to come off the market because, sure enough, it has been showing up in tests in the chickens' livers.
Oh, man.
Fish, whole different set of issues, but I love the Monterey Aquarium site. You can look at that and look for both sustainability issues, because of course our oceans are at some risk, and also you can look at which are the healthiest fish in terms of omega-3.
And congratulations to the Center for Integrative Medicine, UA, now offering a specialization in integrative medicine.
Absolutely.
What does that mean? What's the bottom line there for you?
It's a wonderful opportunity for medical students at the University of Arizona. They will be one of the first medical students in the country who can do a distinction track where they graduate with distinction. They commit to a whole lot of additional curricular activities in integrative medicine. They commit to doing online educational programs, to writing a paper, to doing an oral presentation. So they are going to be well trained in integrative medicine upon graduation from medical school at the University of Arizona.
That's good news, Dr. Mazes. To get those docs out there that know about integrative medicine, get them into every community in America.
That's our goal.
Dr. Mazes, have a great month, and we'll see you in September.
Thank you so
much,
Phil.
I think there was a song called See You in September.
Are you going to sing?
No, I won't sing. The Abandoned Mind Project is coming up next on The Buckmaster Show.
Firo Amori presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Firo Amori. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Firo Amori in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamoripizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastropub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at splendidoaz.net.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you too can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tanque Verde Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
...1221 on the Buckmaster Show. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line on the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and our simulcast partners in Globe and Douglas, we have Manuel Cruz with us. Mr. Cruz has started the nonprofit Abandoned Mine Safety Organization. He's a former Democratic candidate for state mine instructor. Mr. Cruz, how are you today?
I am well. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, it's a pleasure. How is this project going? When we interviewed you for when you were running for state mine inspector, this was one of your big campaign issues, and I guess you've decided to really carry on with it. Tell us about it.
Absolutely. Back in January, I, along with some other folks, started the Abandoned Mine Safety Organization. It's a tax-deductible nonprofit dedicated to closing down abandoned mines and providing abandoned mine safety education for kids K through 12, private organizations, businesses, and public events.
The Buckmaster Show is heard in some big-time mining areas up in Globe, down in Cochise County. Give us some idea how serious the abandoned mine situation is in Arizona.
Well, we have a documented 10,000 abandoned mines here in Arizona. And every year, people are killed and many others seriously injured due to these dangerous death traps. While open and unsecure, the abandoned mines threaten the safety of and welfare of our state citizens, children, and others who explore and play in Arizona.
As I say, the campaign issue was abandoned mines and mine safety. Has the current state mine inspector, Joe Hart, has he picked up on your message? Is he helping you, is he cooperating?
Absolutely. We are working in conjunction together. I'm helping to close these abandoned mines, and the state mine inspector closes down abandoned mines on state land, and they're doing what they can with the limited budget that they have. But we are definitely working together. We have two abandoned mine closures in Globe, Arizona at Round Mountain Park, which is a great little hiking park in the city right next to an elementary school. And these two abandoned mines are about 5 to 10 feet away from the hiking path. And this Round Mountain Park is a place that is used daily. School trips go there, and they have verandas where they have lunch. and so forth. So it's really important to get these abandoned mines closed.
For our friends listening in Globe, when is that closure going to happen?
We are going to close that on August 24th. We're going to be blasting both of these abandoned mines closed. They're, one of them is vertical and one of them is horizontal. So the blast time, for anybody that wants to come out and watch, is at 10 a.m. So on August 24th. And then the following month on September 7th, the school that's right next to where these abandoned mines are, we'll be giving them our education program for the entire school on September 7th, and that's 675 kids, K through 4.
It's 12:25 on the Buckmaster Show. Manuel Cruz is with us. He heads up the nonprofit Abandoned Mine Safety Organization. How difficult is it to close a mine? You mentioned that some are vertical, some are horizontal, some easier than others, I assume?
Yes, some are easier than others. Some can be blasted. Some can be covered using a rebar and concrete. Some of them can be backfilled. But thanks to folks that are helping out, like the City of Globe, Rosemont Copper, the AFL-CIO, and the Phoenix Group Unlimited, these folks are stepping up to help close these down. And we're certainly partnering, starting to get some partners and sponsorships from folks that really care about our mission.
Where can folks find out more about? Do you have the website?
Absolutely. We have our website is www.abandonedminesafety.org. And if you get on that, we've got great education material on there for families. If they want to sit down with their kids and so forth, they can go through our website and kind of see what we're doing. There's education programs on there already to help them. If they'd like to schedule us to go to one of their child's schools and do a presentation, that's all there. And any help that we can get via donations are appreciated, because for every $2 that we receive, we can educate one child.
You got involved in this. Wasn't there a serious accident? There was a fatal accident involving a child. Is that what really got you involved with this, Manuel Cruz?
Yes. It was the 2007 abandoned mine accident with a chloride girl and her sister that were riding an ATV and fell into one of these abandoned mines and was not found until the following day. Now, they lived in Chloride, which is a rural area, but not a few months after that, a young man that was 19 years old, Tyler Halverson from Glendale, was out enjoying Arizona, and he lost his life to one of these abandoned mines as well. So it's important to really educate these kids, not only in the rural areas, but in the cities as well.
So you have a priority list, I assume, of what you can do first, correct?
Absolutely, and we're definitely working on it. We're doing Globe right now, working on the Globe project. We'll be in Phoenix. We'll be doing that next, and then over to the Tucson area, because Pima County has so many abandoned mines that they really can use some help down there too as well.
Okay, Manuel Cruz, and again, for our friends up in Globe and up in Gila County, that event is taking place on August 24th, and if folks want to come out, you said there's going to be quite a bit of activity. What time does all that start?
That all starts at 10 a.m. sharp, and we hope to see anyone out there that can help support us, and like I said before, if any businesses or any individuals of your listeners here, if they'd like to make a donation to help us continue to educate children and continue to help close these mines, please visit our website.
And that website is www.abandonedminesafety.org. And how is there a place on the website that they can make a donation?
Absolutely. If you get on there, every page has an area where you can donate. Or it's got the contact information if you'd just like to mail something in. And also if anyone would like to volunteer when we do presentations at schools, especially if they've got a child in a particular school. We welcome that as well.
Okay, Manuel Cruz, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Bill.
Manuel Cruz of the nonprofit Abandoned Mind Safety Organization telling us about the closure of a couple of abandoned mines right by a walking trail and a popular park up in the Globe area. And that event is August 24th for our friends up in Globe. This is the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, The Voice. Stay with us.
News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Wall Street's wildest week since 2008 continues, this time with some big gains today. There have now been 950 arrests in London since Saturday in connection with the rioting, looting, and arson there. Officials in the British Parliament say a petition could be debated this month that would take welfare payments away from those convicted of crimes during the recent riots. Authorities in Colorado say Lee Doherty told them that she deserved to get shot. She was shot and wounded by a police chief after she allegedly pointed a machine gun at him yesterday. Updating those Wall Street numbers, the Dow is up about 479 points, 11,202. The NASDAQ ahead 120 and the S&P trading 57 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
It's 1234 on the Buckmaster Show, and the home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, the strongest, most powerful news talk station in Southern Arizona. Also, we're delighted to have our simulcast partners in Globe and Douglas, and together we've got Southern Arizona completely covered. Well, every few weeks here on the Buckmaster Show, we introduce you to a leader of some of Tucson's largest companies and organizations. The CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Trio, offering programs and services to support the attraction and expansion of companies that offer primary high-wage jobs to our citizens. Since 2005, Trio has facilitated the relocation and/or expansion of nearly 40 companies in the Tucson region, representing 10,550 jobs and a $2 billion economic impact. For more information, visit trioaz.org. And today we welcome Bruce Dusenberry to the Buckmaster Show. Bruce is CEO and president of Horizon Moving Systems. Prior to getting into the moving business, Bruce practiced law for nearly two decades. He's been a major player in Tucson's economic future for years, serving on numerous boards, including the Tucson Airport Authority. He's past chair of the Arizona Town Hall, Southern Arizona Leadership Council Board, the TRIO Board, and he's a past president of the DM50. Mr. Dusenberry was awarded the 2009 Man of the Year Award by the Tucson Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce, and he is the chair-elect of the chamber. Bruce, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
So how is the moving business, how are you handling this downturn in the economy?
Well, like everyone else, we just keep our head down and keep moving.
It's tough.
Pun intended there.
It is tough, though. When the housing market suffers, it trickles down to what you do.
It does. It definitely affects the moving industry nationwide.
When you think about your company, your I believe it was your grandfather, right? Started out in the business?
Yes, 87 years ago, grandfather.
Your business has got to be one of the oldest continuously operating businesses in Southern Arizona. I think of Hank Amos, of course, of Tucson Realty, but you guys are right up there, aren't
you? We are. Yes, we're probably in the top 20 there and of the oldest businesses still here in Tucson.
Why did the family get into moving?
Well, it began with, actually, the family built the lodge in what was then White House Canyon. It's now called Madera Canyon. And they had a truck that would go back and forth from Tucson hauling firewood in the winter down to Tucson and ice in the summer back up into the mountain for people's ice boxes.
And the
truck became a moving truck at one point in time.
And then it went from there. And in your business, what's changed so dramatically in the moving business? Or is it pretty much...
Gosh, in every industry, I think there's constant change. Technologically, everything's done on computers. The dispatching and planning nationwide is much more efficient. Even as we go into people's homes to estimate moves, we take iPads now and can, over the 3G network and download the pricing to wherever they're going and present estimates right in the home.
You've been a huge supporter of many organizations, as I said in the introduction, including the Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities, known as TRIO. Why'd you get involved with TRIO and support it?
You know, TRIO, as you mentioned in your introduction, is the organization that's responsible for bringing primary industries to Tucson. For the longest time, I wondered why GTEC and the other economic development agencies didn't do more for the local businesses, our business and so forth. And, you know, I came to realize that we can't just trade dollars amongst ourselves locally. Local service and retail business really needs primary or base industries that export their products and services outside of Tucson and import dollars from outside of Tucson. Tend to be more high-paying jobs, and that is what really allows our economy to thrive and grow.
Because you've seen a lot of economic developers kind of come and go in this town, because there have been many of them. TRIO's the latest kind of reincarnation of there have been a long list, let's put it that way. What do you like best about what TRIO's doing that the others did not do? Are they because they do include the local people?
Yes, TRIO, in the past, economic development was pretty diverse. It was spread out amongst governments, county government, city government, the chambers, and so forth. TRIO is a has consolidated those into a single organization, and so it's a much more focused, and it's also less government funded. It's now the majority of the funding comes from private business, from local businesses.
And there are different sectors that are involved with TRIO, of course, defense and aerospace, bioscience, solar, transportation and logistics. The defense and aerospace, I think some people take that for granted, but that's a huge player here in Tucson.
It is a huge player. It's the largest industry segment. Raytheon Missile Systems, of course, is our number one private employer with over 12,000 employees, but folks don't probably realize there's over 200 other aerospace and defense industries, businesses in our southern Arizona region that comprise that large segment.
You're a past president of the DM50. That's the civic group that supports Davis-Monthan Air Force Base and the airmen that are stationed there. What role does the base play in our local economy?
Well, of course, it ties directly into what we were just talking about, the defense and aerospace industry. The Air Force does an annual economic impact survey, and in 2010 determined that the Air Force Base provides a $1 billion impact. It has 6,000 military members, almost 2,500 civilian employees out there, and it's created over 4,000 jobs in the community. So if you count the retirees, because there are many people who are in the Air Force who were stationed here that come back to live here, it provides a $1.5 billion impact.
What's the latest on the – is there a worry that the base could close or get on a list that might put it in danger?
Well, you know, I think we obviously live in uncertain times. Clearly, the government has got to do something about the deficit, and defense is one of the areas that they're looking at and they have to look at. So I really don't believe that there's a danger of closure, but we're already seeing with the Air Force, they're looking at cost savings and efficiency measures, and cost savings can include Davis-Monthan, and we have a example this year that we've been dealing with.
The Air Force did quite a bit of consolidation, and that consolidation, as I recall, Bruce, has actually helped Davis-Monthan, hasn't it?
Well,
with bringing some of their components up here.
Fortunately, Davis-Monthan has seen quite a bit of capital investment in its infrastructure, and we have received different missions. There are many missions out there besides the primary 355th Wing, the A-10s that we see in the skies. One of those is the 12th Air Force, which is headquartered here in Tucson. If you drive down Golf Links and see the copper-colored roof, the copper-roofed buildings, that's the headquarters of the 12th Air Force.
12th Air Force is a huge component, isn't it? It's one of the major components for the Air Force.
It is the command for all of the fighter bases, fighter units, squadrons west of the Mississippi.
I understand you and the mayor, Mayor Walkup, who was a guest here on the Buckmaster Show yesterday, you went back to the Pentagon, right, to meet with some of the Air Force brass about trying to make sure Davis-Monthan is secure?
Yes, this concerned one of the consolidation measures that the Air Force is doing, which is they're looking at this point at consolidating the Air and Space Operations Center in Tucson for the 12th Air Force. And that operations center is very similar to one in Tyndall Air Force Base in Panama City, Florida. And they're looking at consolidating the two operations centers together. It would mean that one would be essentially closed down, and the other would receive all the employees from all the people who work in the one that's going to be the survivor, I guess. So, yes, the mayor and I went back and met with the vice chief of staff, General Breedlove, at the Pentagon, and presented our case for why, if they're going to do that consolidation, Tyndall should come to Davis-Monthan, not the other way around.
Bruce Dusenberry has been our CEO interview series guest for and talking about all the roles, the many hats he wears in this community. He's been a civic leader here for many years. His company, 87-year-old company, Horizon Moving Systems, really one of, certainly, I guess you could say, Bruce, you mentioned 20, perhaps among the 20 oldest in Arizona companies.
I think that's a fair guess. Yes.
Okay. Bruce Dusenberry, thank you very much, and let's hope the economy gets a little stronger here in Tucson.
Bill, it's been a pleasure, and I'm sure it will get stronger.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bruce Dusenberry of Horizon Moving Systems, CEO there. Coming up next, Terry Goddard, former course candidate for governor of Arizona, and he is the former Arizona Attorney General. Stay with us.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including five major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
It's 12:47 on the Buckmaster Show, and the home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Our number 790-2040, the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, and of course our simulcast partners in Globe and Douglas. So we figured it out, Terry Goddard. We're in about 8 of Arizona's counties with the Buckmaster Show.
A majority.
Yeah, a majority. That's right. There are 13, correct?
There you go.
All right. Terry Goddard.
15
is
the last time I checked.
Oh, 15. Excuse me. Terry Goddard is with us. Of course, Terry Goddard, the former Arizona Attorney General. He was the Democratic candidate for governor last November. Mr. Goddard also is the former mayor of Phoenix. Terry, good to see you.
Great to be here. Thank you. Get down to cool Tucson.
Yeah. Maybe 10 degrees some days.
Usually 10 degrees. Yeah. No, I logged in at 94 driving it to the station, and it was a good 106 in Phoenix. So.
Well, you could have turned KVOI on in Phoenix and heard the show the whole way down.
I should have done that. Right. I did not know.
Terry, how is Arizona doing? I mean, I interview different lawmakers who say state is in pretty good shape. The cutting was so necessary with this last legislative session. We had Senator Al Melvin here on the Buckmaster Show recently. He says, looks like the cuts are over because of the hard work the Republican leadership did in this last session. What kind of shape's this the state in?
Well, pretty bad. I was going to say,
is it a mess?
As you were mentioning that, I want to know what it is they're eating and drinking, because it's a powerful drug, and we all should share. No, we're not in good shape, and all you have to do is look at the fact we're leading the nation in unemployment. We're way ahead of the national average. Unfortunately, that's been persistent. We've got a economic recovery that refuses to get going. The home prices are still rock bottom, and the, what's more important, though, is that they're unstable. And that means that the chances for a fundamental and sustained recovery are in jeopardy, because when people can't invest in homes or are reluctant to, because they don't think the bottom has been hit yet, and Lord knows we've tested the bottoms a couple of times, that makes the recovery far more difficult. And what, you know, looking back, really disturbs me in the economic side is that there still is no state plan. I hate to use any sour grapes from the last election, but that was one of my sort of going home points, was that we had to have an economic development plan. We needed to put some serious effort behind building jobs in the state. We needed to have an economic development public-private partnership. And we needed to have venture capital with the state behind it. And the only thing that has happened has been the public-private partnership. And that's been announced now, as far as I could tell, three times. The Arizona Economic Council was first kicked off a year ago in April. It was then re-announced, I believe, in June or July, about a year ago. And then on the 25th of this month, it was announced again with the same board of directors. And I thought, well, is economic development really just announcing your committee? Because that's pretty much all that we've seen. It's the same committee and only has two Southern Arizona faces or Pima County faces on it. And I think that's tragic, because a lot of the innovative work is being done right here in Pima County.
As I recall on your resume, you did work in housing, trying to get people into homes. Weren't you involved with the HUD?
Well, I worked for HUD for 8 years. Yeah,
yeah,
I guess that counts.
Yeah.
But I also started at a couple of nonprofits that are in the area of affordable housing and trying to make sure that people have decent places to live that they can afford.
This housing crisis doesn't seem to be getting any better in Arizona.
I keep saying, and unfortunately it's true, the other shoe of the mortgage and foreclosure crisis is still out there. There still are a lot of troubled mortgages in Arizona. And that's something, as a private practice attorney, people, I guess, picked up on the fact that as an AG, I spent an awful lot of time working with and if necessary, suing banks and the people who handle mortgages for malpractice, for consumer fraud in some cases. And as a private practice attorney, that's the number one number of calls I get are people distressed about their mortgage. So it's still happening big time.
Terry Goddard is with us on the Buckmaster Show. If you have a question for Mr. Goddard, 790-2040, 790-2040 for Terry Goddard. SB 1070 going all the way to the Supreme Court. Some of your thoughts.
Well, a couple. The governor has inappropriately seized the litigation. And I find that very disturbing. As a former attorney general, there are certain divisions of power in Arizona, and most states have independently elected attorneys general. They do that in our Constitution with malice aforethought. There needs to be an independent, hopefully professional judgment about litigation and about the and coordination about the litigation policies of a state. That is the current Attorney General Tom Horn's responsibility. And yet you probably saw the news just yesterday was that Governor Brewer was instituting the writ to take this case if the Supreme Court agrees to hear it. She's the one making the effort. Has absolutely no legal basis to do that. She also announced about a month ago that she was hiring counsel to represent Arizona before the Supreme Court. Now, she picked one of the brightest and most effective lawyers in the country, so I'm not trying to second guess that decision. I'm just saying it wasn't her job. Mm-hmm. Tom Horn should have made that decision. And so I'm in the somewhat strange position of saying we've got a constitutional violation here. My successor should have been the person running the case for Arizona in support of 1070.
Bruce is ready on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. You are on with former Arizona Attorney General Terry Goddard. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hi, Mr. Goddard. I have a question for you, and it's regarding the MERS and the robo-signing. And, what is your take on that? There's a case proceeding towards the Arizona Supreme Court.
Is the question, is there one or should there be one?
There is one.
There is one on, well, MERS is an issue here. Robo-signing hasn't been as much because we are a deed of trust state and not a judicial foreclosure state where you have literally dozens of documents that need to be filed and properly notarized and signed. But what I can say from the national perspective is that this mess persists. Robo-signing is indicative of a system that was in collapse. And so many times, and you may be one of these examples, the banks proceeded without actually having the documentation that they needed. They didn't actually have the deeds that were being foreclosed on, and customers were being treated very shoddily, both by the robo-signing and by these modification practices, which is where Arizona has been particularly victimized. People apply for a modification, they're underwater with their mortgage, or they're having serious trouble. The banks say that they're going to give them one. They lead them along with a trial mortgage modification payment. Sometimes those payments are very substantial. And then they pull the plug 6 months or a year later and go ahead and foreclose. I argued in our case against Bank America that that's consumer fraud because those people otherwise might have had a different decision to make, but they thought they were going to be able to stay in their house and have a legal modification. So I'm just very disturbed at the way the banks have failed to come up with a standard set of transparent practices that consumers can depend on and can reference when they're in trouble.
Terry Goddard is with us, former Arizona Attorney General, 1256 on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, for any questions for Mr. Goddard. You've been doing some lecturing. Were you back at Harvard? Is that what I understand?
I have been at Harvard Law School. Columbia Law School has been my sort of home away from home, where I've been part of a very interesting program there called the State's Attorney General's Program. It's a section of the Columbia Law School faculty, and they have focused on, and I think it's both interesting and appropriate, the law that is being made across the country by the 50 state attorney generals and the ones they work together, as they are right now on the last topic, on the mortgage meltdown. That's a time where there's a little different involvement, a very bipartisan, and I think a very appropriate involvement in some of the serious problems, especially when the federal government doesn't step up to the plate. The states are more and more picking up the slack in the legal area.
Do you see this trend with more and more independents coming? Is this what do you make of it in Arizona as the two traditional parties seem to be losing ground?
Boy, aren't they? I mean, the number one party right now, I don't know if I can back this up statistically, but I think it's very clear, is the independent group of voters. They're on the ascendancy. That's where every...
What's that say?
Well, it says that people are sick and tired of the wrangling, the kind of thing we just went through in Washington over the debt ceiling. That is appalling to me. I grew up in a Democratic-oriented family. My parents certainly... We're unstinting in their loyalty. I have been, but I have serious questions as to whether the current dialogue is productive for the country. And I think an awful lot of people have bolded both parties because they feel they're not behaving like adults. They're not behaving like reasonable people. They're fighting over points of political advantage, which really don't advantage the nation. And the debt ceiling was one of the most stark examples I've ever thought of or heard of. I grew up believing that we paid our debts. And more than anything else, the United States paid its debts. And the fact that we had people elected to Congress who were willing to essentially walk away from those obligations, including paying our troops in Afghanistan and Iraq, is absolutely appalling to me.
And some of the great lawmakers, Mo Udall, your father, the former governor of Arizona, those are people that believed in compromise.
Well, and let's think about the heritage of Mo Udall. I was just at the dinner of the Udall Foundation, which is a very inspiring legacy of Mo and Stu Udall. And I recalled at that time and do often that Mo Udall and John Rhodes worked together hand in glove, the Republican and the Democrat, the Southern and the Central Arizonan, and they got things done.
They did indeed. Terry Goddard, it's good to see you. Come visit us again.
Thank you, Bill. It's great pleasure to be here.
All right. Terry Goddard on the Buckmaster Show. Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants. Drop by and say hello to Mike Flowers. Any of your accounting needs, he'll take care of it. 2919 East Broadway. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a great afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow on our Friday Focus and our Friday Roundtable at 12 noon. The Friday Focus interview, Congressman Raul Grijalva will be with us. Hope you have a great day. See you tomorrow at noon, live on KVOI.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.